This is New England Public Radio's Jazz Beat. I'm Tom Reaney with a podcast edition of my jazz blog, which you can find at nepr.net. Today's Jazz Beat podcast is devoted to the guitar legend Barney Kessel. In the select pantheon of white musicians for whom playing the blues seemed to come naturally, Barney Kessel holds a prominent place. Born in 1923 in Muskogee, Oklahoma, his interest in guitar was supported by intensive lessons provided by the WPA Federal Music Project in the summer of 1935. 2 years later, at age 14, Kessel became the sole white player in a local swing band. In an odd parallel, Kessel was later the only white member of the ensemble featured in the landmark 1944 documentary Jammin' the Blues, but bowing to Jim Crow custom, the filmmaker showed only his hands, which were dyed with beet juice. Kessel told the CBC in 1979 that his first playing experience was an eye-opener. "We played mostly for black dances. The other band members had all played with Charlie Christian. They all knew him because he was born 150 miles away in Oklahoma City, and they invited me to play solos all the time. I didn't know anything about solos, but they invited me. Take one, take a solo. And I would try to tremolo, like a mandolin, and they would say, 'Play it like a horn, play it like a horn player.' I didn't know what they meant. But then I heard Charlie Christian, and I finally knew what they meant." Kessel's encounter with Christian took place in 1939 when the pioneering electric guitarist played Muskogee with Benny Goodman. As recounted in Ted Gioia's West Coast Jazz, the essence of Christian's advice to Kessel was, "Concentrate on swing first. Then if you can make some interesting harmony after you know how to swing, that's fine. But to begin with, swing alone is enough to get you by." Kessel's commitment to Christian's first principle only added irony to the title of his 1955 masterpiece, To Swing or Not to Swing. When it came to that most compelling of jazz basics, Barney never suffered Hamlet-like ambivalence. With Christian's premature death in 1942, Kessel became one of the first guitarists to carry his emphatic single-string conception forward. Combining an unfailing sense of swing with a deep knowledge of chords, he joined the front rank of guitarists in the 1940s. Kessel played with Chico Marx when he arrived in Los Angeles in 1942, followed by work with Benny Goodman, Charlie Barnett, and Artie Shaw's Gramercy 5, a dynamic combo that featured Roy Eldridge and piano legend Dodo Marmarosa. This small group setting brought early attention to Kessel's brilliance, and he soon began placing first in the polls of Downbeat and Esquire, a string that ran from 1947 to 1960. At first confused and turned off by Charlie Parker, Kessel nonetheless bought his records and suddenly heard the future. "I remember buying those records, even though I did not like them, and one day it was just like a mist lifted, and I could see what it was. From the minute I began to like it and began to understand what he was doing, I did not like my playing, because I wanted to articulate that way, and I didn't know how." But Kessel was a quick study, who ended up in the group that played on Parker's celebrated Relaxin' at Camarillo's session in 1947. Kessel's fabled studio career began in the 1940s and encompassed hundreds of sessions ranging from Bing Crosby, Ella Fitzgerald, and Frank Sinatra to movie soundtracks, to jingles, to instructional tapes. His guitar was the virtual co-equal of Julie London's voice on her classic, Cry Me a River. while, he toured with Jazz at the Philharmonic, succeeded Irving Ashby in the Oscar Peterson Trio, and the following year left Oscar and Ray Brown to begin a 4-year stint as music director for Bob Crosby's television variety show. By the early 60s, he was now counted among the players in the Wrecking Crew, playing on top 40 hits produced by Phil Spector, Sonny and Cher, the Beach Boys, and many more. He also made celebrated jazz dates with Ben Webster, Sonny Rollins, Billie Holiday, Benny Carter, and Hampton Hawes. Like Charlie Parker, Kessel's playing was infused with the blues, both in tone and in the coherent narrative quality of his solos. Guitarist Hal Farlow noted this in the liner notes for Kessel's 1957 album, The Pole Winners. Farlow wrote, "He has a definiteness in his playing. When he hits a note, it's really hit. Charlie Christian gave me that same feeling. The blues are a basic part of most of what Barney does. The blues always seem to be his vehicle, and he's certainly funky. He was funky long before it became a conscious thing to strive for. For some musicians, there came a time when we were suddenly earthy, or supposed to be, but that's old stuff for Barney." Kessel maintained that the blues is an intensely personal matter. In an interview with Royal Stokes, he said, "I think your experiences in life lead you to develop within yourself a feeling that is highly empathetic toward the blues." With tongue firmly in cheek, he continued, "I think one can learn to play the blues in the same way one can learn to become a bullfighter by taking a correspondence course, or one can adopt the culture of the gypsy by reading books on it. I don't think it's an impossibility, but I think to do it that way would result only in an intellectual attainment." Echoing Louis Armstrong's down-home dictum, "You can't learn that in school," Kessel homed in on one of the intangibles that pedagogy can't provide. Blues is a feeling that comes to you that mixes with the music, and if you haven't had that kind of experience, it's not going to be there. I don't think you're going to learn it from Berkeley. All you can learn there is how other people do it, but it's without the emotional content, which we never talk about in any scholastic training. You don't go to any school and enroll in a course with a teacher and get a grade on emotion. This has to come from you and your life experiences. Will the blues continue? I think it will continue as long as human beings retain their feelings and have feelings of despair and desolation and even the feeling of the joyous part of the blues, like going to Kansas City or something like that where it's on a positive upbeat. I think as long as people don't turn into computers and have emotions, there will be blues. For more on Barney Kessel, including concert footage and rare photographs, check the Jazz on the Moat blog at nepr.net. Thanks to Katie Wright for production assistance. For Jazz Beat, I'm Tom Reaney. Thank you.